Well, happy Easter, and thank you again for joining us online for this Easter Sunday. Trust that you're doing well, praying for you, and continue to pray for the church, pray for those around you, pray for our country, pray for the world. Pray that God would give you opportunities to be a witness and a testimony, and be with us in prayer today over the message. Resurrection Morning is the title of the message. I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, I'll begin in verse 62. It's quite a long chapter, 66 verses. And I'll read down through Matthew chapter 28, verse number 6. Resurrection Morning, let's pray. Father, we do praise you and thank you again that we have the opportunity to continue to read your word, to preach your word, to listen to your word, and to share your word. Father, we thank you for our freedoms in this country. Pray that you would just be with our president, be with our elected officials, be with those around the world working, trying to find a cure for this pandemic. Lord, I pray that we would be able to get back to work soon, that families would be able to congregate together, that churches would be able to congregate together, that we would have the fellowship restored. And Lord, until that time, I pray you just continue to encourage our hearts, strengthen us, help us to encourage one another, and we'll give you the praise and thanks for all that you do. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew 27, beginning of verse 62, the Bible says, "Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." No other event in human history can be compared to what has just been read. Nothing else like it had ever happened before, and nothing else like it will happen again. The dead were raised to life before Jesus was raised to life, and there will be resurrections again one day, but no one ever raised themselves up out of the grave, and no one will raise themselves up from death by their own power. This one event changed everything for all of human history and all of eternity yet to come. You must deal with the resurrection of Christ if you are to become a true believer. You either believe Jesus was a man who walked the earth as the only begotten Son of God, or you don't. You either believe that Jesus was an innocent man who was crucified and in so doing took the punishment of sin for mankind, or you don't. You either believe that Jesus died on that cross because of his love for you, or you don't. And you either believe that he rose up from the grave as the victor over sin, death, hell, and the grave, or you don't. Whatever you choose to believe. You need to understand one simple truth, and that it is just that. It is your choice. God does not force you to believe in him. People say, well, he wants me to serve him and to be his slave. Foolish people say that. Those who do not recognize that they are already under the bondage of sin and servitude of the devil. Those who recklessly believe that they're the ones in control, as the devil offers them a counterfeit of freedom. Satan offers the pleasures of sin for a season, while Jesus offers the security of salvation for all eternity. You must choose. But in order to make the right choice, you must know. And in order to know, Jesus invites you to come and see. In the passage that we read earlier in Matthew 26, we see what Jesus wants you to see. We see his struggle. In Matthew chapter 26, our previous chapter, not the chapter we just read, but in Matthew 26, verse 31, the Bible says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Jesus wants you to see his struggle. He struggled with being alone. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31, the Bible says, Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 35, the Bible says, Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Peter wasn't the only disciple to say that he wouldn't abandon Jesus. When Jesus began his ministry, he purposely chose 12 disciples to accompany him, to minister alongside him, and to be with him. There were a number of times that Jesus went alone to pray. Probably the two other most notable times, other than here in the Garden of Gethsemane, are when Jesus went alone to pray after he was baptized. And he went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and was tempted by Satan. Also in Matthew chapter 4, after he heard the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded by Herod. He was tempted in chapter 4. In Matthew 14, he heard that John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod and went alone to pray. After Christ is tempted in the wilderness, he goes out and chooses his 12 disciples. After John the Baptist is beheaded, Jesus is moved with compassion over the multitudes that have followed after him. He doesn't stay alone very long. Jesus knew how to be alone, but he struggled in that he wanted that human connection and to be able to minister to and with others. It wasn't just the struggle with being physically alone. He struggled with being completely left alone. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46 records for us the words of Jesus as he is hanging on the cross. The Bible says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" In that moment, he experienced a feeling of aloneness that no other has ever known. The loving gaze of God, who said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," was turned away. Jesus would suffer the sins of the world as they were poured into his body, as he who knew no sin would become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus struggled being alone, and he struggled knowing this was what was coming. In Matthew chapter 26, continuing in verse 36, the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, 'Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me.' And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.' And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." Luke chapter 22, verse 44 says this about the time that Jesus spent praying before his crucifixion. It says, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Jesus struggled, knowing that he would have to take this cup and drink it all alone. Luke was a physician. The clinical name for what was happening to Jesus as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane is called hematohidrosis. Leonardo da Vinci actually wrote about a soldier who had sweat blood before he went into a great battle. Jesus knew he was going into a great battle. He prayed for another way to be done, but he knew this is what had to happen. He knew it was the Father's will, and he prayed, "The Father's will be done." And he invites you to come and see the struggle that Jesus went through as he was about to be crucified. Jesus wants you to not only see his struggle, Jesus wants you to come and see his sacrifice. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 51. The Bible says, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Jesus sacrificed his rule. He didn't need to be defended physically. Several times they had come for Jesus, and he simply walked past everyone. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is in Nazareth, preaching about Elijah and Elisha, the leaders of the synagogue become enraged and take Jesus out to the hillside to cast him over the edge. And the Bible says in verse 30 of Luke chapter 4, but he passing through the midst of them went his way. In the Gospel of John, this account is given in chapter 18, verses 2 through 6. The Bible says, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Jesus was God. His word and his words had power. He had rule over the seen and the unseen things of this earth. But he sacrificed that rule in order to surrender his life. In John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus said about his rule over his own life, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus had complete rule, but he sacrificed his rule. He sacrificed not only his rule, he sacrificed his rights. Jesus is brought before Pilate in a sham trial that was never going to be judged fairly or go in his favor. False witnesses are presented and false accusations are made, none of which could or should have resulted in a death sentence. At the very least, he should have been left alone, as their accusations amounted to him being a liar and a crazy person, neither of which would call for the death penalty to be imposed. Jesus sacrificed his rights to a fair and just trial, knowing that this was the path he must take to fulfill the prophecy of his ultimate sacrifice. Jesus wants you to come and see his struggle and to see his sacrifice. Jesus wants you to see his strength. In Mark chapter 15, in verses 25 through 39, I'll not read the entire portion of scripture, but in this passage, in verse 25, the Bible says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. So Jesus' crucifixion is taking place at the third hour. Down in verse 33, the Bible says, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the third hour when Jesus is crucified, until the ninth hour. That's 6 hours. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calleth Elijah. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. From the third hour of the day until the ninth hour of the day, Jesus is hanging on the cross. 6 hours. In Scripture, we learn that even before his body was nailed to the cross, he was beaten and spit upon. He was mocked with a robe and a crown of thorns, and he was tortured with a whip before being led through an angry mob to the place of his execution where he would suffer and die. This is what Christ knew was coming while he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. This was what he was preparing himself for. He did all this because of his love for you and me. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He didn't come down. He stayed on that cross, and in his strength he took the punishment you and I deserved. He did not enjoy being there. He wished for some other way possible, but he knew a sacrifice was required. A spotless lamb must be slain. And in the strength of his resolve, he became that sacrifice for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There was a joy, but it was after the cross. While he was on the cross, he endured. The Bible continues, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We were the ones who were weak and hopeless. We were the ones who needed someone to save us, someone with strength to step in and be both willing and able to take our place. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 reads, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what we were. The ungodly. The wicked. The reproach of heaven. The backstabbing liar. The traitorous thief. The fornicating adulterer. The vicious murderer. The wayward son. The evil cheat, the foul sinner, the guilty soul. We were the weak ones. Romans 5 continues with verses 6 and 7. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What strength he displayed in dying for you and me so that we might have the opportunity to receive his grace, the choice to accept his mercy and forgiveness, and to embrace his love. But how could we? How could we do any of that? Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's given up the ghost, and he's dead. His sacrifice was our substitution. His atonement was our redemption. But now it's all over. His death means that we don't have a chance. Who can we turn to now? All miracles have ended. All healing is gone, and all hope is lost. But the story doesn't end there. I told you at the beginning, no other event in human history can be compared. 3 days after Jesus is laid in a tomb, he shows his strength over sin, death, and hell. The Bible says the angel of the Lord came and rolled the stone away from the tomb. John chapter 20, verse 1 says it this way. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Historians will try to explain away the fact that this tomb, sealed and guarded by soldiers, somehow the stone that covered that opening was rolled back by perhaps some of his followers. Other scholars believe that taken away means, no, it wasn't just rolled, it was out of there. It was so far away, nobody could have rolled it, humanly speaking. And I believe that the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to let others in to see what had taken place. Jesus was alive. Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus had conquered the grave. Romans chapter 6, verses 8 and 9 tells us, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Verse 14 of that same chapter says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 reads, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. There you have it. Jesus proves his strength in victory over sin, hell, and death. He leaves the decision up to you. The choice to believe still remains. Do you see his struggle? Perhaps you've struggled with being alone. Perhaps there's times in your life where you felt lonely, where you felt like there was nobody else around, nobody else who knew what you were going through, no one else who understood. His word says, he will never leave you, nor forsake you. He understands. He knows what it means to struggle, feeling alone. Do you see his sacrifice? Maybe you feel as though you've been treated unfairly, that God has not been kind to you or just. Do you see how he died, an innocent man, for the sins of the world? He gave up his rule. He could have called 12 legions of angels to come and defend him. His own word could have prevented him from ever going to the cross. It was unjust. It wasn't right. Do you see his sacrifice? Do you see his strength? His hand is mighty to save. He can heal you. He can help you. He will forgive you, and he will save you. He has the power. He has the authority over death, sin, hell, and the grave. Come and see. Do you see? Will you choose Jesus? Place your faith in him. Pray and ask him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart, to cleanse you and make you new and take you to heaven. For believers, this story is a marvelous truth to receive, but we too are given a directive. If we've placed our faith in Christ, if we've already asked for forgiveness of sins, if we trust in him for salvation to go and take us to heaven one day, it doesn't end there. We're given instructions. At the tomb, Mary is told to come and see where the Lord lay. Once she saw he was not there and that he had risen from the grave, she was commanded to go and tell. We must be willing to go and tell others. We must be willing to invite them into the scriptures. And we must invite them into history and invite them to come and see into the empty tomb. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your love for us. We praise you for the great gift of salvation. We praise you for an empty tomb. Lord, though we're unable to gather together physically as believers, I pray that spiritually we would be renewed and refreshed, invigorated to tell others about you, to invite them to come and see. May our lives be a testimony of your grace, your mercy, your love and forgiveness. Father, I pray that you would continue to allow your Spirit to move in hearts and lives, to provoke us and guide us to those that have never heard, to those that are on the verge of believing, to invite them, Lord, to look at the empty tomb, to see the struggle, to see the sacrifice, and to see the strength of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for souls to be saved. Pray that you would bless Heritage Baptist Church. I pray that you'd bless services around the globe today. Lord, online and otherwise, in small groups, wherever the name of Jesus is being proclaimed, wherever the empty tomb and the hope of heaven is being shared, I pray that your Spirit would embolden and enable those that are not saved to put their faith and trust in you, and those that are saved, Lord, to be a testimony, to be a lighthouse for your honor and glory. We'll give you the praise and thanks for all that you do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. In closing, again, we ask that you, just a couple of quick announcements. We ask that if you have Facebook access and are on Facebook, that you would visit our church page and perhaps leave a comment, a rating, something that would encourage others to make Heritage Baptist Church their church home when we are able to meet again. And then also, if you would continue to be faithful in your giving, either through online, through the PayPal account that is at hbcminot.org, or through mailing it to the church here at 435 21st Street Northwest. God bless you. Have a great week, and amen.